Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus specializes in turning the common into the uncommon, water into wine, and sinners into saints. Today, more about a miracle at a wedding feast and why the day of miracles is far from over. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles taken from the Gospel of John. Today, we're in John chapter 2, learning about Jesus, Lord of the Marriage Supper. When the wine was gone, Jesus took charge.
Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Wow, don't you admire these servants? Apparently, they didn't ask now, why is it that we can't just fill them half full? They may have had their own doubts, as privately expressed. We need wine. We don't need water. Whatever their misgivings, bless them. They filled the water pots with water, and we're talking about large water pots. If you multiply this out, it's either, 120 gallons ultimately, or 180, somewhere between that volume. And so they go fill them right to the brim until you can look at that water pot directly horizontally, and you can see the water as it is just perched above the ledge. One commentator said, rather accurately, "Brimful obedience," he said, "brings a brimful of blessings." That's true. And what I'd like to do in the next few moments is to help us to understand some of the blessings that these waiters experienced because of their obedience. Blessings that you and I can experience as well, even though we will not see a miracle like this. Jesus, when he was here on earth, did things that were never done again on planet earth. But nonetheless, we also will understand the blessing of the Lord if we are joyfully, fully obedient. What are those blessings? First of all, it is obvious that the ordinary became for them extraordinary. The ordinary became extraordinary. And here they are. They are in an ordinary city, Cana of Galilee. You can go to Cana of Galilee today. There are a number of villages that some people have thought were Cana, though I think that archaeologists and historians have properly identified the Cana of Galilee. And you can see it from the side of the road, as some of us have, and it's just an ordinary, small, sleepy little village. This was an ordinary home. It was an ordinary couple being married. These were ordinary water pots, but in the midst of that ordinariness, there were no photographers there who were going to get all this captured for People magazine. It was not that kind of an experience. It was very homey, and it was very lowly. But in that home, the glory of God was revealed. The glory of Christ was shown. Now, you know, of course, that when you see these water pots, common water pots, they became uncommon water pots because Christ was there, and Christ had done something to transform that atmosphere. You know, one day I went to the Swedish Covenant Hospital many years ago when Dr. Culbertson, who for many years was president of Moody Bible Institute, he was dying there of cancer. And just before he died, I went into his hospital room, and of course you see all of the gadgets and you see the bed and all of the things that may surround a dying person. And he and I talked very briefly, and he was still very lucid, and we talked about heaven. But the glow that was on his face was so extraordinary that I have never forgotten it. It was like one of those experiences that you have rarely in life where you say to yourself, I have been in the presence of God, an ordinary hospital room with ordinary surroundings which are normally depressive. And there, in the midst of that, you say to yourself, surely God is here. Because Christ takes that which is common and he makes it uncommon. You know that your job can become extraordinary when Jesus is there. You waiters, by the way, who work in restaurants, I feel sorry for you. I was talking to one recently who said that she gave up the job because it was such a disaster. She said, you know, here's this woman who is sitting with her husband. The woman, she ordered a certain plate, and the waitress brought exactly what was ordered. And then the woman's husband said, what do you bring that for? That's not what she wants. Waitress said, wait a moment, that's what she ordered. Well, I don't care what she ordered. That's not what she wants. Take it back. Who can live with an experience like that? You really do see what people are like, don't you? Not you folks, but I mean, I'm talking about the folks in other restaurants and so forth. Let's just keep this above board. My dear friend, even in the midst of those kinds of situations, if you are doing it for Jesus, the ordinary, the common, the pushes and the pulls of life become extraordinary because God is with you. God is with you. Look at what the text says. In verse 11, this is his first miraculous sign that Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. There was no flash of light. There was no waving of hands. There was no blazing presence. Most of the people at the wedding had no idea that this miracle had been performed. And yet those who were on the inside track, who obeyed Christ, those brimful of obedience, brought the brimful of blessings, and they saw in the common events of life the glory of God. Jesus was there, and he manifested his glory. And so let us remember that when we obey, we can take the very ordinary and make it extraordinary. You know, Ruth Graham, the wife of the famous evangelist, said that she did not like to do dishes. It's good to know that famous people are human just like the rest of us, isn't it? But she said that above the sink, she used to have a sign that said, "Divine service performed here 3 times daily. I won't do these dishes for Billy, but I'll do them for God." And so you transform the ordinary into the extraordinary done under the touch of Christ. Well, let's look at a second blessing. The first one is that they noticed that the ordinary became the extraordinary. The second is they had the privilege of understanding the secrets of the Lord. The secrets of the Lord. Let's pick up the text in verse 8. They filled them to the brim, and he told them, "Now draw out and take some to the master of the banquet." I always say, you know, that when we get to heaven, we're going to watch videos, and this may be another one, because I'm reading the text and I'm wondering, where did the miracle take place? Did it take place as they were drawing out the water? And so they took out water and suddenly, boom, it was wine. Wouldn't you be surprised if this was transformed right here? Let's see, maybe. That's still water. Now, here's the point, folks. Jesus said, take some out and give to the master of the feast. And so they did it. And it says that he tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. They knew. And then you remember he called the bridegroom and said, look, you know, you've done this wrong. We'll get to that in a second. But do you notice the little phrase there that says, though the servants who drew the water, they knew where it had come from. It was hidden from everyone else, but they were close to the source of power. They understood that they were in the presence of greatness. They could interpret what was happening because they were obedient and they saw the miracle. They saw the miracle. You know, those of you who know Christ as Savior, and that's the majority of those of you who are here, though by no means exclusively so, because there are many of you who are present and who are listening to this who have never personally believed on Jesus. But let me talk to those of you who have. You know that you have an inside track. You understand things. Here's a woman who's praying for her husband who does not know God, and she continues to pray for him, and then finally she gives him over to God, and she stops trying to change him. She just commits him to the Lord and says, God, I'm giving him to you, and good riddance. You take care of this guy, okay? And he begins to change, and he begins to get interested in the things of God, and she begins to notice changes. And he doesn't understand why those changes are happening. He does not understand the inside track, but she knows it is because God is at work. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And you begin to have secrets with God. You say, yeah, God, I see you. You know, Christ divides homes, doesn't he? Many of you have experienced that. You come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your family will tell you that you are stupid, or they will tell you that you are a fanatic. At the Moody Business Luncheon, we once had a man give a testimony. It was an amazing testimony. He was making millions of dollars. He was going through a divorce. His family was in shambles, and nobody told him he was crazy. But the minute he accepted Christ as Savior and his life was changed, they all said, you're crazy. It's really strange, isn't it? Now, here's the thing. Some of you live in an environment like that, and you know God because you've come to know him through Jesus Christ. You know that your sins are forgiven. You know that your eternal destiny is settled. You are convinced and assured that Jesus is all that he claimed to be. And as a result of that, you have a mind that has been enlightened by the Word of God, and you understand, but your friends don't. The head waiter did not understand, but the servants who drew the water, they knew, and you know, it's the blessing of obedience. Well, let me give you a third blessing. The first is that the ordinary becomes extraordinary. You enter into the secrets of the Lord. And thirdly, you come to understand that God always keeps the best until the last. We now pick up the rest of the text. It says, then he called the bridegroom aside, verse 10, and said, that is the head waiter after he tasted the water that was made wine. He said, maybe perhaps somewhat rudely and sarcastically, we don't know his tone of voice, but he says, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now. This is Pastor Lutzer. You know, my friend, one of the dilemmas that all of us face is trying to reconcile the harshness of life with the love and the compassion and the greatness of God. How do we put that together when life can be so mean, so unfair, and so unjust? And we all cry up at times, where is God? As believers, we do have an answer, and the answer is this, that in the end, God is going to take all of the wrongs and he's going to make them right. God is going to bring justice to every situation. Yes, he does always save the best till last. That's why the Apostle Paul could say that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I speak to you today in your sickness, in your discouragement, and in your pain, and I let you know that this too shall pass. The best is yet to come.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought part two of Jesus, Lord of the Marriage Supper, the second message in his series, Seven Convincing Miracles, taken from the Gospel of John. Next time, more about this first public miracle of Jesus. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about Seven Convincing Miracles when you write or call. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.